Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. If you love all things weather, make sure you hit that subscribe button over on YouTube, Rob Jones Hurricane, to stay updated on all the latest episodes. You can find me, Meteorologist Rob Jones, on Instagram and TikTok, Meteorologist and TV Meteorologist, for a glimpse behind the scenes of the weather world. Today, we're going on a journey to discover an unexpected connection, the link between those everyday cleaning products we use and, well, the weather patterns we experience.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, we tend to think of those cleaning products as staying put in our homes, but as we'll see today, their impact can actually go way beyond our walls.
Definitely. So let's dive right in. When we talk about microplastics, what exactly are we talking about? I kind of remember those microbead controversies a while back. Is this like a continuation of that, or is there more to it?
You're right. There's more to the story than just those microbeads. Think of microplastics as basically any plastic fragment that's smaller than 5 millimeters. They come in two main types. Primary microplastics, which are added to products on purpose, like those microbeads you mentioned, and secondary microplastics, which form when larger plastic items like bottles or packaging break down.
So we're talking about tiny plastic particles coming from all sorts of places.
Okay.
But I mean, how big of a problem is this, really? Are we talking trace amounts here, or is this something more widespread?
Well, unfortunately, it's more widespread than many realize. These microplastics have basically made their way into all our ecosystems, from the depths of the oceans to the soil beneath our feet, and even in our food, drinking water, and the air we breathe. And what's concerning is that many everyday products, even those we use for cleaning, can be contributing to this.
Hold on, cleaning products. I'm having a hard time picturing how something like, say, laundry detergent could be a part of this. Can you give us some concrete examples?
Absolutely. Let's take laundry pods, for instance. They often contain a plastic called polyvinyl alcohol, or PVA, which is designed to dissolve in water. But studies have shown that a good portion of it might not actually be breaking down completely during wastewater treatment.
So even though those pods seem to, like, disappear in the wash, they could be leaving behind these microplastic residues. That's a bit unnerving.
It is. And it's not just limited to laundry pods either. Some types of sponges, toilet bowl cleaners, and even furniture polishes can contain or release microplastics when we use them.
Wow. Okay. So our cleaning routines could be unintentionally contributing to this whole microplastic problem. But I'm still a bit confused. How do these tiny particles from our homes end up impacting something as huge and complex as the weather?
That's a great question. It really shows how interconnected everything is on our planet. Think about it. You wash your clothes, and those microplastics, along with the water, travel down the drain and into the wastewater treatment system. But treatment plants aren't always able to catch every single microplastic.
So what happens to those that slip through?
Well, some of them end up in our rivers and lakes, and eventually the oceans, where they can harm marine life. But here's where it gets even more interesting. Microplastics can also become airborne. They can be picked up by the wind and travel incredibly long distances, reaching even the most remote parts of the world, like the Arctic.
Wait, you're telling me those tiny bits of plastic from our cleaning products could be floating around in the atmosphere? That's something I never would have thought of.
It's pretty mind-blowing, right? And what's even more fascinating, and maybe a bit alarming, is that scientists are starting to understand how these airborne microplastics could actually be influencing the weather patterns we see.
Really? How so? Can you tell us more about that?
Well, think about how clouds form. They need these minuscule particles, called condensation nuclei, for water vapor to condense around. And, you guessed it, microplastics can act as those nuclei.
You're saying that microplastics could actually be helping to form clouds? What kind of effect did that have?
That's exactly what researchers are trying to figure out. If microplastics are playing a role in cloud formation, they could also be impacting rainfall patterns, potentially affecting where and how much rain or snow we get.
That's incredible. It's amazing how something as simple as cleaning our homes could be influencing the weather on such a large scale.
It really does show you how interconnected everything is on our planet and how even seemingly small actions can have far-reaching consequences.
Absolutely. But beyond the environmental impact, I also can't help but think about the potential health effects of these microplastics. We're talking about tiny plastic particles that can get into our water, food, and even the air we breathe. That can't be good, right?
You're right to be concerned. There's a growing amount of research looking into the potential health effects of microplastics. And while we still need more research, some of the findings are definitely raising red flags.
Can you give us some specific examples of what researchers are finding?
Well, let's go back to that study we mentioned earlier about laundry pods and PVA. Researchers estimated that a significant percentage of that PVA, maybe as much as 77%, could be sticking around in the environment even after going through wastewater treatment.
77%. That's a huge amount. But why should we be worried about PVA in particular?
Well, PVA itself is a type of microplastic, and some studies have linked exposure to microplastics with various health issues, including inflammation, oxidative stress, and even potential hormone disruption.
That's definitely concerning. But you mentioned earlier that more research is needed. What are some of the key areas that scientists are focusing on to understand the full extent of the potential health risks?
That's a great question. Researchers are really digging into several areas. One focus is understanding how microplastics are absorbed and distributed throughout the body. Do they just pass through, or are they building up in certain organs?
And if they are accumulating, what are the potential long-term effects of that?
Exactly. Researchers are also looking at how microplastics interact with our cells and tissues. Do they cause inflammation? Do they interfere with important cellular processes? These are all crucial questions that we need answers to.
It's a bit unsettling to think that we're still figuring out the full extent of the potential health risks associated with these microplastics.
It's definitely a complex issue, and it's important to approach it with scientific curiosity and a commitment to understanding all the details.
Absolutely. It's all about understanding the risks so we can make informed decisions and protect ourselves and future generations. So, given what we know so far, are there any practical steps we can take to reduce our exposure to microplastics and prevent them from entering the environment in the first place?
That's where things get really interesting. You know, while big changes in how we produce and manage plastic waste are definitely important, there are absolutely things we can do as individuals to reduce our own microplastic footprint.
So it's not all doom and gloom. We actually have some control over this. That's good to hear. What are some of those things we can do?
Well, for one, we can rethink our cleaning routines. Like, instead of relying on those super convenient but potentially problematic laundry pods, we can switch to powder detergents. Or, you know, liquid detergents that have more sustainable, biodegradable formulas.
So back to basics with the powder. Okay, got it. And what about when we dry our clothes? Any suggestions there?
Definitely. Ditch those dryer sheets, you know, the ones that often have microplastics in them. A good alternative is wool dryer balls. They're reusable, and they can even help your clothes dry faster. So it's a win-win for your clothes and the environment.
Wooled dryer balls. Now, that's a blast from the past. Okay, I'm adding that to my list. What about other cleaning products? Any tips on how to choose ones that are less likely to contain microplastics?
Absolutely. A good rule of thumb is to become a label detective. You won't find microplastics listed directly, but you can look for specific types of plastics like polyethylene, polypropylene, polyurethane, and yeah, those microbeads we talked about.
Sounds like a fun challenge. But sometimes those ingredient lists can be pretty overwhelming. Are there any resources out there that can help us decipher all that?
You bet. There's this campaign called Beat the Microbead. They have a website and even an app that can help you figure out which products have microplastics in them.
Awesome. So avoiding those specific ingredients is a good starting point. Any other hints we should be looking for on the label?
Yeah, keep an eye out for products that say microplastic-free or biodegradable. And if you really want to go the extra mile, try exploring more natural cleaning alternatives.
Natural cleaning. Like, yeah. What does that stuff actually work as well as the conventional products?
You might be surprised. Think about the cleaning power of simple ingredients like baking soda, vinegar, and Castile soap. They're effective, affordable, and they don't have those harsh chemicals and microplastics.
That does ring a bell. My grandma used to use baking soda for everything. Maybe I should give that a try. Any suggestions for scrubbing tools that are microplastic free?
Oh, yeah. Ditch those melamine sponges. They're known for shedding microplastics. Instead, try natural options like cellulose sponges, loofahs, or bamboo brushes. They'll get the job done without adding to the microplastic problem.
Wow. It seems like we have a lot of choices when it comes to making our cleaning routines more eco-friendly. But to be honest, sometimes those convenient, ready-to-use products are just so tempting. What would you say to someone who's struggling to break free from those habits?
I get it. Convenience is a huge factor. But it's important to remember that our choices, even the ones that seem small, can have a real impact. Choosing a different laundry detergent might seem like a small thing, but it's a step towards a healthier planet and potentially better health for ourselves, too.
It's about realizing that our actions have consequences, even in the most ordinary parts of our lives.
Exactly. And when enough of us start making these small changes, it can lead to a big collective shift that can really make a difference.
That's a good point. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the sheer scale of environmental problems, but knowing that our individual choices can actually contribute to positive change is really empowering.
For sure. And speaking of making a difference, let's circle back to how microplastics and meteorology are connected. It's kind of crazy how these tiny particles from our cleaning products can actually affect something as big and complex as the weather.
I'm still blown away by that. Can you remind us how that works? It's almost like something out of a science fiction movie.
Right. It's pretty wild. Remember how we talked about clouds needing those tiny particles called condensation nuclei to form? Well, microplastics, especially those that become airborne, can act as those nuclei.
So you're telling me that those little bits of plastic from my laundry detergent could be helping to make the clouds we see in the sky?
That's the kind of reality we're facing. And if they're affecting cloud formation, they could also be affecting precipitation patterns, you know, changing where and how much rain or snow falls.
This adds a whole new layer to the issue, doesn't it? We often think of plastic pollution as being a problem for our oceans, but now we're seeing how it can affect the air we breathe and even the weather we experience.
You got it. That's exactly it. It highlights how urgent it is to address plastic pollution at its source. You know, reducing our reliance on single-use plastics, promoting recycling and reuse, and coming up with more sustainable materials, these are all crucial steps in tackling this problem.
It sounds like a multi-pronged challenge, one that requires individual action, innovations from industry, and of course, strong government policies.
Couldn't agree more. It's a complex issue that needs a collaborative effort. But with growing awareness, dedicated research, and a real commitment to change, I think we can create a more sustainable future for ourselves and for future generations.
Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. We've been diving deep into this unexpected world of microplastics and how they can impact our planet, even reaching up into the atmosphere and messing with weather patterns. Definitely a lot to take in, but I gotta say I'm feeling pretty motivated to find some solutions.
Yeah, that's the spirit. You know, knowledge is power, right?
Yeah.
The more we understand about this complex issue, the better equipped we are to actually make a difference.
For sure. So let's switch gears a bit and talk about what we can do about it. We've already touched on some great tips like, you know, choosing natural cleaning products and really scrutinizing those labels to avoid hidden microplastics. But what are some other everyday things our listeners can do to minimize their own microplastic footprint?
Well, one simple but super effective thing is to cut back on single-use plastics. Think about all those plastic grocery bags, water bottles, takeout containers, all that stuff. By choosing reusable alternatives, we can really make a dent in the amount of plastic waste that ends up in the environment, you know, the waste that eventually breaks down into those pesky microplastics.
Right, that makes total sense. I've been using reusable shopping bags for years, and I always have my trusty refillable water bottle with me. It's amazing how those small changes can become like second nature after a while.
Absolutely. And speaking of reducing waste, composting is another fantastic way to keep organic materials out of those landfills. Food scraps, yard waste, even those paper towels we use for cleaning, all that can be composted and turned into valuable nutrients for our gardens.
Composting is something I've been meaning to try. Any advice for someone who's just starting out?
Oh, tons. There are so many resources available online and in local communities. You can find a composting method that fits your lifestyle, whether it's a backyard compost bin, a worm composting system, or even a community composting program.
That's great to know. It sounds like there's an option for everyone, no matter how much space they have or how much experience they have. So we've talked about the impact of microplastics from cleaning products, but what about our clothes? We mentioned earlier that microfibers from synthetic fabrics can also be a significant source of microplastics. Is there anything we can do about that?
You're absolutely right. Clothing is another area where we can make a difference. First and foremost, try to prioritize natural fibers like cotton, wool, and linen whenever possible. They're more biodegradable and less likely to shed those troublesome microfibers. But, you know, if you do have synthetic clothing, there are still things you can do to minimize shedding. Washing clothes in cold water and using gentle cycles can definitely help. And there are even special laundry bags designed to trap those microfibers during the wash.
Those laundry bags sound pretty clever. I'll have to check those out.
Oh,
and speaking of innovations, what about those advancements in biodegradable plastics we talked about? Are those starting to become more available?
Yeah, definitely. It's a really exciting field, with scientists and companies working hard to develop new materials that break down more effectively in the environment. Some of these bioplastics are even made from renewable resources like cornstarch or sugarcane, offering a more sustainable alternative to traditional, you know, petroleum-based plastics.
It's inspiring to see all these eco-friendly solutions coming out. It feels like the future of cleaning and everyday products could be so much brighter and greener.
I'm right there with you. I'm optimistic too. With continued research, investment, and consumer demand, I think we can create a world where products are not only effective, but also environmentally responsible.
Well, this has been an incredibly eye-opening and honestly empowering conversation. I feel like I've gained a whole new understanding of the everyday products we use and the impact they can have on our planet. And most importantly, I'm leaving with a sense of hope and, you know, a whole toolbox full of practical steps we can all take to make a real difference.
That's fantastic to hear. That's exactly what we were going for. Remember, even those small changes can have a ripple effect. By making conscious choices, supporting sustainable innovations, and advocating for change, we can really create a healthier, more sustainable future for ourselves and for future generations.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And to all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us on this journey of discovery. We hope you've learned something new and are feeling inspired to take action. Don't forget to subscribe to Rob Jones Hurricane on YouTube. And you can find me, meteorologist Rob Jones, on Instagram and TikTok, meteorologist and TV meteorologist, to explore more fascinating weather phenomena. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring.